Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week we do take a close look at one of the appearances of the Blessed Virgin Mary somewhere in the last 2,000 years, somewhere over some 200 countries. Wow. It's a lot of territory and a lot of time, but she's been very busy, starting in 40 AD and still going today. Yes, today. Unfortunately, we don't always hear about where she is today until as many as 10, 15, even 20 years later. It takes time for the story to be accumulated, maybe written up, maybe reported, investigated, even heard about. Sometimes we hear about things going on, but we don't get much detail. So things are just happening. And if you think about that, she's approaching near 3,000 visits in 2,000 years. That's busy. So, and if you haven't heard of this before, you're thinking, boy, these guys are nuts. They're off their rockers. Who would say such a thing? They must be all delusional. Well, yeah, you might think so, but hey, I work in the psychiatric field, and I'm used to patients being delusional. These visionaries are not that kind of issue, and they do not suffer any psychological problems based on many, many, many interviews from different professionals over the years, even over a century or so of time when they've been interviewed, tested, evaluated. They've never come up as psychotic or out of touch with reality. In fact, they're as surprised as anybody that they're involved in a very supernatural experience, but they're very moved by it. And what they experience touches many people around them, sometimes moving hundreds, thousands, perhaps even millions of people to change their lives. When Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared, it affected so many of the Indians in that country of Mexico that as many as 9 million converted to Catholicism. It's just amazing the impact a few appearances might have on as many as millions of people. So obviously her impact is there. Obviously her visits are considered very real. There will always be those who doubt and who want proof. Well, we've got quite a bit of proof. We've got photographic proof. We've got miraculous proof, things that have happened that cannot be explained in any other form, to the point that the church finally admits there's supernatural character to the visits, and it cannot be explained by any known means. Therefore, they consider those cases credible. Well, I often joke about how many cases need to be credible for Mary to be real. If she's real one time, she's real all the time. But people say, well, she's only been approved 15 times. That's like saying she's only been, seen as alive and credible 15 times. Wait a minute. Once is enough. If she's credible, then why do we need 200 cases saying she's credible? Anyway, I think you see my point. But nevertheless, that's the way it rolls, and people want every single case to be proven so that they can believe without fail. And, you know, there are supernatural things caused by Satan. There's no doubt about that. But there's been a difference, and even visionaries have felt the difference. They don't feel the same when he tries to get into the picture and pretend that he's the Virgin Mary. That never goes well, and they see right through it pretty quick. So he makes efforts to screw it up for everyone, but Mary continues to do her thing. And you might ask, well, what's she doing? Well, she's come back to us to warn us, to give us predictions, to instruct us, to guide us to get back to the church, back to Mass, back to confession, back to the practices of prayer and penance and all these things that are so important for a good Christian life. She does not want her children, and we are all her children. She does not want to lose any more of them to hell, which many are going to hell, according to her, because they've lost their way, they don't believe in God, and they refuse the chances to be close to God. And, you know, I've always said, how can you expect to go to God's heaven if you don't know him? It'd be like saying, hey, I'm going to move into Jack's house down the street. Oh, he doesn't know me, but I'm just going to move into his house. Right. That's not going to go well because he doesn't know you. And if God doesn't know you, how do you expect to go to heaven? So there's a lot of lessons we learn in this program and a lot of things we share. And it's very biblical, as our experts on the team will show you. So that's what we do. If you haven't heard this program before, stay tuned. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at some of the things that we'll discuss. And if you've missed things, this is part three of Australia. And if you've missed the other two parts, they are definitely searchable in the archives to listen to. All these programs are archived going back to 2014. So we've been doing this for 7 going on 8 years, and every Sunday night. So we got a lot of programs archived, but put in the date, search, Journey with Mary, Deeper Truth, Blog Talk Radio, and the date, and up it comes. All right, well, let's get our team on here, starting with my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley. How are you tonight?
Well, John, we're just doing just great tonight. Tonight is another Deeper Truth night. And you've been talking about Our Lady and what she's been doing. I love Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 10. Who is this that comes forth like the dawn, as beautiful as the moon, as splendid as the sun, awe-inspiring as bannered troops? Oh, ain't that so wonderful? And think about that. Who is that that comes along? Well, you go to Acts, or actually, let's go to Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 17. I think this is important, too. It says, basically, and I'm heading right there right now,
Are you thinking of Acts 2?
Yeah, Acts chapter 2. That's well, you know, Luke wrote both Acts chapter 2, well, Acts, the book of Acts, as well as Luke. He wrote both of them. And here it is, Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 17. This is very important right here. It says, "It will come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out a portion of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out a portion of my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. And I will work wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below." Oh, that is so wonderful, because that's exactly what we're talking about there with the one. As splendid as the moon, as beautiful as the moon. Ain't that something there, John?
Oh, yeah. Love it when they talk. I mean, if you didn't know about the apparitions, you might wonder, well, how could that be Mary? But if you read the apparitions, she does appear brilliant as the sun and beautiful lady and all these things that you're mentioning. So it's neat that right there in the Bible, you know.
Yes, and when I'm, and we look at this, I can't help but think of when she appeared to soldiers in the Philippines, and how they turned and went on Our Lady's side. Ain't that something? They got out of their tank.
Oh yeah,
and joined the people.
Yeah, they said they saw heaven in her eyes and the look on her face, and they weren't about to mess with that.
No, not at all.
No,
not at all.
That would be a look I would not forget. So,
John.
Anyway, yes, Mike.
John, if you will recall, the Apollo 11 astronauts, when they were the first ones to be on the surface of the moon, they commented. One of the comments they had was that the moon has a stark beauty all its own.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Well, and so, when it comes to Our Lady, she is extremely beautiful. when you go to, in fact, the most beautiful, you go to Psalms 45, and that tells it right there as far as Psalms 45, because it talks about her being very, very beautiful. It says,
yes.
Psalms 45, basically, hear, O daughter, and see, turn your ear, forget your people and your father's house, because she's the queen. She will be the leader of the house in that sense. So shall the king desire your beauty. When you got God, think about that. When you got the King of Kings desiring how beautiful she is, that just kind of tells you a little bit, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the first thing that almost every visionary has said, and we've seen this over and over and over, almost the very first words they utter are, beautiful lady. As I did my research, I just cracked up every single time. It's like the first words out of any visionary's mouth was, beautiful lady. So she must be just absolutely breathtaking to behold. I have no doubt. So that's cool. Very cool. Hey, I have a question for you all, and then Mike has something special for us, too. A person challenged me this week and said, they say Mary's the queen of heaven. Where in the Bible does it say that? Now, before you answer or say anything, my answer was, well, it's not necessarily in the Bible, but in tradition back in those days, if the man was... that became king was not married, his mother became the queen mother, and since Jesus is, of course, unmarried and king of heaven, then his mother would be queen of heaven. That's my answer I gave, but I am interested if anyone has any biblical suggestions or information actually from the Bible that might suggest that she truly
is
the queen of heaven.
You're right. There's actually two. It does call her queen of heaven in Psalms 45, going back to that, going to verse 9. With myrrh and aloes and cassia, your robes are fragrant. From ivory palaces, stringed music brings you joy. Our Lord loves stringed music. The daughters of kings come to meet you. The queen takes her place at your right hand in gold of Orphel. And, of course, that is the Blessed Virgin Mary.
That was Psalms 45, verse 9?
Yep, verse 9 and 10.
Great. Any others?
So, well, the whole Old Testament goes back with what you were saying, which is important to note, because it is when the kings, there was never the wife of the king that was the queen. It was always the mother, the queen mother. And that goes all the way back to Bathsheba, the son of...
Even if the king had a wife, the mother was still the queen?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Because the king...
I didn't realize that.
Well, think about it. The king would have probably several wives. They'd be fighting and tussling over who would be queen. No, it would be the mother.
Mom, you do it.
Yep, there you go. And it began with Bathsheba. First Kings chapter 2, you'll find the source right there.
Very good. Well, that was a good question. And, you know, I have to be on my toes because people ask those pointed questions, and you know yourself, you get them. So I thought I answered it pretty good, but that's even better what I just learned. So everybody out there now learned it with me. So very good. Mike, you have any comment on that?
I got to find a switch first. There is one of the things that I'm thinking as you were mentioning that is the void that we've had in this program for the last few weeks.
Oh, yes.
You never knew. If you're a brand new listener to this program, you don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about Judy Elsiator, who received poems from the Lord and shared them on this program. Well, we have some of them because when she shared them, we taped it. And this is one that she did, one of the few she did that was not done on Deeper Truth Radio. And this was done in Beaumont, Texas, site of the last abortion clinic in Texas. And that's in the news these days. This is what she had. This was her poem on the occasion of the last abortion clinic in Texas to close.
Amazing grace bestowed to us from Christ, our sovereign King. We bow our heads in praise and thanks, our voices raised to sing, to worship you, to shout your name from rooftop way up high. We thank thee, Lord, for this new day. For here, no child shall die.
That was, of course, back in 2013, when the last abortion clinic in Beaumont in Texas closed. And Texas's tough abortion law has gotten a new lease on life. It was dead for a day and resurrected by a federal judge who said that Texas can go ahead and enforce that law.
Hmm.
So yeah, and that,
you're up to
that
date.
Is excellent. I was stationed at Fort Hood, Texas, and I would be down there at the Killeen abortion, Planned Parenthood there, and I was there long enough to see that one close as well, and so that's what we need to see. We need to see the pro-life. That's what our prayers should be for pro-life. And win one heart at a time, yes, true, definitely that. But also, we should also work to defend life at every level,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's, you know, with voting for candidates who support pro-life causes and also
mm-hmm.
working towards closing down these abortions. I mean, think about it. It's just exactly what the Nazis was doing in Germany when they were killing Jews.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. It's just that people don't realize, if you don't realize that the baby is a human being, then, you know, whoever is not respected as far as being a human being, they're the ones that's going to suffer. And so we need
yep.
to protect and defend all life. All life matters. And despite what some people may say, all life does matter. And that's where we stand.
I remember a poster I saw that says, "Why don't we have a doctor who's found the cure for cancer yet?" And the bottom of the poster says, "We did, but you aborted him."
Actually, I like that. I do too, but I think that there was a reality to that where someone, Padre Pio. Padre Pio had someone that came to them for confession, and that was interesting how Padre Pio had him come back the next day and kept asking him, "Is there anything else you want to confess?" And he ended up having to tell her the reason why I've not granted you absolution is because you had an abortion. And had you not had that abortion, that would have been the next pope or it would have been a very important pope.
Wow.
And that was coming from Padre Pio, St. Padre Pio. Revelation.
You can pretty much put money on anything he said because he is one of the most holy men, one of the most amazing stories you can ever read. And plenty of evidence for his supernatural abilities. And even in death, he's incorrupt and a miracle in itself with his death. But anyway, that's another story. Tonight we do return to Australia for part three, the ending. And we just have a few messages left. So we have plenty of time here. But I wanted to just do a little brief recap, just basically this housewife in Australia totally unexpectedly started receiving visits and messages from Mary. And, yes, the first time she saw her, it was a bright light and a beautiful lady, just like we've been saying. And three bishops have approved all of her visits and messages, in case you were wondering. She had got just scores of messages. I've only selected the most interesting ones for the program because they're still, it's taken us 3 weeks, you know, just to go through a lot of these selected messages. And she, of course, also had what I think is one of my favorite experiences where her sister had died and she'd had a miscarriage, and then she was granted a visit to heaven to see her deceased sister and her beloved grandmother raising her 9-year-old miscarried daughter, who she totally did not expect to see or had no idea that a miscarried child would be raised in heaven. But both of the deceased relatives says, "Oh yeah, we're taking care of her for you. And we're looking after her." And it was a total shock and just amazement to her. And everything about it was fitting in with my heaven research that I've done. And, wow, it's, you might remember the movie Heaven is for Real, where little Colton Burpo says to his mother one day, "Hey, Mom, how come you didn't tell me I had another sister?" And she goes, "What, you've only got one sister." He says, "No, the one I met in heaven." She goes, "What are you talking about?" He said, "This little girl about 6 years old ran up to me and threw her arms around me and said, 'Oh, I've been watching you. I'm so glad to finally meet you.'" And he goes, of course, he's like 4 years old at the time going, "Yeah, girl, let go of me." You know? But she said she had no name because you had never named her. And the mother about fell over because she had never shared with the kids anything about having a miscarriage or the fact they didn't know the sex of the baby, so they had not named it. So the little girl says, "Yeah, they never gave me a name, so I have no name." And everything just fit perfectly. The miscarriage was 6 years ago. The girl looked about 6 years old to him, on and on. But it's just another good example of miscarried and aborted babies grow up in heaven and are raised in heaven. So that's why it's fun to do heavenly research. Just you learn so many neat things like that. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. And if you're interested in the book, it's called The Intense Reality of Eternity by John Carpenter, found on Amazon or Kindle or Nook or any book service. You can order it or find it. I keep mentioning that book, so I thought at least I'd give the name, so in case you said, "Why doesn't he ever tell us what book it is?" Now I did. So there. Mm-hmm. Any reactions?
Well, think about it. Think about it. When in heaven, think about all the places that the Virgin Mary appears. She doesn't appear like she's 2,000 years old. She usually always appears as a young person in the prime of life. And I think that's exactly what our Lord is going to be, how it is going to be. They're going to be, and it's forever, for eternity. So that is a powerful thing right there. So,
yes, it is.
If you had a miscarriage child, you can look forward to seeing them one day.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yep. Very much so. Those are just the happiest little stories to read when you find one of them. And that's why I collected them for my book, because I want people to see it wasn't just one instance. That there are numerous instances where that has happened and people have met those children. And it's a very interesting bunch of research, there's no doubt. I still just love what I came up with and found. It was just so rewarding. Anyway, so Geraldine had that experience. That's the visionary's name. And then she had numerous messages up to the year about 2001, I think. And If she's had more since then, I just don't know yet. But she certainly had a bunch of them. And we're going to start with one that we ended with last week. So I thought it was that important that that we probably wouldn't remember it anyway. So I'm going to start out with that one. It was given to Geraldine on October 7th, 1993. Mary says, "My dear child, tell my priest sons I am calling them together to prepare to do battle. The church and the world are about to be thrown into great turmoil. Pray very much for the Holy Father," which was John Paul II, "as he suffers greatly for the sins of humanity and is very distressed. He needs your constant support in prayer. Tell my sons I have chosen you to give these messages, which is the holy will of my son. Prepare humanity now for the greatest battle since time began, which is about to begin. If you do not heed my warnings, you will not survive the terrible and evil time ahead. Torrents of rain, hail, thunder, earthquakes, catastrophes, natural disasters, murders, corruption, incest, immorality, abortions, priests and religious losing faith and committing sacrileges against the holy name of my son. These are all taking place. How much more can he take? He is daily crucified. Help me, please. I cannot hold back the justice of my son anymore. Please, my sons, prepare now as never before. I'm gathering you now from the four corners of the earth to do battle. Put on the armor of God daily. And as you do that, take up your cross and carry it with joy. Go in peace," unquote. Okay, that's a powerful message. Let's hear some comments on that.
Well, I like that. I like what it says there, because he is being crucified every day, or at least that's the appearance in heaven. He has those wounds. Very powerful. Very powerful. And so he still is working towards the salvation of the world. It didn't just happen just 2,000 years ago. It is happening today, right now.
Right.
And so Our Lady is totally correct about that.
And notice that that message was 28 years ago, in 1993, 28 years ago, yet all the listings of things happening, how right on target are all those things that she says are going wrong.
John,
amazing. Yes.
There's an old joke that goes something like, $1 billion is like a penny to God, and 1 billion years like 1 second. So this guy hears this and he says, "God, give me a penny." Lord says, "In a second." Archbishop Fulton Sheen, excuse me, Archbishop Fulton Sheen mentions that heaven's clock runs different than ours.
Yes.
And when you hear these things, and some will even accuse the church of using it to create fear, and you better do what I say, and that sort of thing. When you look at these kind of phenomena that take place, how do you deal with timing? As far as have you in your research gotten any inkling as to how different heaven's clock is than ours? I mean, we know that when it's noon in New York, it's 3 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock a.m. in Los Angeles. So what's the difference between heavenly time and earth time?
Well, couple things on that. First of all, in my research on apparitions, it's very clear when she says things are going to happen soon, that soon could be 100 years. And, of course, in the eternity, that's nothing. That's truly nothing. A blink of an eye, probably 100 years in terms of eternity. So it is confusing. It sounds like it's going to happen next week, and we would take it that way. Oh, my gosh, it's going to happen this month or next week. But generally, it might be within the century.
The problem is, John, when the people come and tell you that this calamity is going to happen in the next week, and when it doesn't happen, then you have people saying, oh, there's no God.
Right.
We have to realize, because of recent events, how much prestige and respect the church has lost.
Yeah.
And trying to get the message out, that is a definite factor.
Right. Also, in my heavenly research, everyone that comes back says there is no time. It's a man-made thing, and that it's now, always. It's always now in heaven. And it can be now in terms of civil war now, or here October 2021 now, or it could be two centuries from now. Now, it's all now. Everything happens right now.
There was a cartoon in the Reader's Digest several years ago where a young girl is getting off of a scale on a cloud, and she turned around to her friend and said, 118, this really is heaven.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's the next message. On February 15th, 1991, Mary says, my children, the Lord your God speaks. Let not your sins be numerous, because there will soon be a great chastisement. Turn back to me, my children, quickly, as Satan is very strong. This is his kingdom. He now rules over much of the world, but my kingdom is coming. Sorry, this one's from Jesus. I should have said that. Let me start that again, now that you know it's actually Jesus speaking. My children, listen to me. The Lord your God speaks. Let not your sins be numerous, because there will soon be a great chastisement. Turn back to me, my children, quickly, as Satan is very strong. This is his kingdom. He now rules over much of the world, but my kingdom is coming. There really is another life. You are just passing through here. Do not let the world deceive you. It does not have anything to offer that is lasting. Store up in heaven your treasures, and soon you will be with me in paradise. Believe, my children, justice will come. Take refuge in me. Do no harm, and you will receive a peace this world cannot give you. Come to me, my children, and I will give you rest. The people of this world will hate you as they hated me before you. But do not fear, my child. I have overcome the world. Satan is very powerful, my children. Pray the rosary often. This is a very powerful weapon. Do not concern yourselves with material things. Live simply. Go to church, as this is the only time when you are in my real presence. Go to confession at least once a month with the intention of changing afterwards, unquote. Wow. Was that not the coolest message from Jesus? Wow. There's a lot of stuff in there.
If you look at that, you catch a lot of things that Jesus said while he walked the earth. store of treasures in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You will be with me in paradise. He said that to the good thief.
Mm-hmm.
And on it goes.
Yeah, very biblical. And very fitting with everything.
But
everything.
And also the value of that is that when people take what Jesus is quoted as saying in these apparitions and compare it with what he said in Scripture while he walked the earth, you see a continuity.
Yes.
There is a common thread that runs through it.
Yeah. What do you think, Donald?
Well, there's definitely common threads, and the Book of Revelation and what Our Lady is saying is very, very common. And so that's what's important for us, is that we hold fast and hold the line in our faith, especially right now. We are in October, and we're doing the Our Lady of the Rosary novena, and today is day 4. Which is talking about the Holy Rosary, which St. Padre Pio called the weapon. And we need to utilize that. And that's what Our Lady is calling for. That's what our Lord is calling for. That's what he's giving us. This is what's so important for us, to be able to hold the line and to bring back those who have fallen away. That's what we are called to do there, John. And that's what everything, mm-hmm. That's what all this is about. Everything is about that.
Yep, like you said, pray the rosary often. It's a very powerful weapon. And, boy, he sure said a lot of heavenly things, too, that rang true. I like it when he said, there really is another life. You are just passing through here. Do not let the world deceive you. It has nothing to offer that is lasting. I just love that. And later he says, do not concern yourselves with material things. Live simply. Go to church. And that is the only time when you are in my real presence. So it was just loaded with all sorts of really powerful statements and a real joy. Tell you what, that's probably one of my favorites from Jesus, without a doubt. Here's another one from Jesus, February 6, 1995, quote, Beloved, I wish to tell you of the great things I have planned for this generation. Woe to the wicked, for their time is over. They will lie in the streets covered in their blood for the sufferings my children have cried out to me in vengeance. I have a great punishment for mankind, the like of which has never been seen before or will be again. This will be the very worst of my judgment. Terror will sweep the earth. The love of many will grow cold and cease to exist. Many will be plunged into hell. My angels are in readiness for this day. They await my word. The heavens, my child, will be pierced with the cries of many, but in vain. I have said, no more. This day will come very suddenly. I wish you to prepare with much prayer and sacrifice, because much will be asked of my chosen children. The evil one is poisoning people's minds, perverting them, and causing them to pervert others, inciting them to murder and destroying many before this terrible day. There will be many innocent victims at this time. Pray for them and their families. My beloved, to do everything Father tells you on my behalf. My beloved, the grace of God is upon you in this work. I'm allowing all these things to prepare you for my kingdom. Beloved, accept all with love for me. The evil one is trying to destroy your peace. Offer everything for love of God. Go in peace.
That sounds so much like Revelation. And it's all over the place, actually. But Revelation chapter 5, I think, spells it out pretty well. And I like it right here going to verse 6. Then I saw standing in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and the elders a lamb that seemed to have been slain. See, that's what we were talking about earlier. We were talking about that. That's what Our Lady was saying, that a lamb that seemed to have been slain. He had seven horns and seven eyes. These are the seven spirits of God sent out into the world, the whole world. He came and received the scroll from the right hand of the one who sat on the throne. When he took it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each of the elders held a harp and a gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the holy ones. They sang a new hymn. Worthy are you to receive the scroll and to break open its seals, for you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God those from whom every tribe and tongue, people and nation, and you made a kingdom. You made them a kingdom and priests for our God, and they will reign on earth. Oh, boy. So it's all coming from our Lord.
Sure is. Sure is. Well, there are hundreds of more messages given to Geraldine from Jesus and Mary. They cannot all be listed, but at one point a medal was requested to be created that would display the Divine Mercy image of Jesus on the front and these words, "He who believes in me will never die." And then it says, "Jesus, the light of the world." On the back side of the coin or medal, it displays the Sacred Heart of Jesus next to the Immaculate Heart of Mary with these words, "Unite the world, the Immaculate Conception, and the Sacred Heart of Jesus." By the way, I tried at one point to get a copy of this medal and had a lot of difficulty. And then someone else I know actually had gone to a seminar where Geraldine had spoken and had an inside way of getting some of those medals, and I believe I've actually got one now. She sent me one, I believe, that shows the Divine Mercy on the front and the Immaculate Heart and Sacred Heart of Jesus on the back. So it does exist. But that was from Australia, so, you know, it's not that easy sometimes to come across. But I think I did get one, if I remember. So,
but you were down. You were there in Australia once before, right?
I was, but it was long before I got into all this research. In fact, I was there in '96, about the time she was getting these messages. I didn't know her or anything about. Yeah, I was down there for a week at a conference, but I had no idea that she was getting messages or any of this was going on. So, but anyway, we've got a message from Mary about this medal. She said on February 10th, 1995, "My child, this medal will be for the conversion of many. Many graces and blessings, healings, spiritual healings will come from the faith people have in this devotion. The name of this medal, my child, is the Medal of Divine Mercy. I have come to ask for devotion to our two hearts and to my beloved Son's Divine Mercy. Those who ask us under these titles will receive abundant blessings, and the grace of my Son will be given to them. This devotion will be spread worldwide and will amaze you. But it is the will and work of my Divine Son, so it will bear much fruit. Go, my children, and spread this devotion everywhere, as it is so necessary for the salvation of the world. My Son blesses you, as do I. Go in peace." So that's pretty cool that the Divine Mercy entered into this. Because, again, this is 1995. How many of you even thought about Divine Mercy in 1995, right?
Yeah.
Is this the same Divine Mercy that was revealed to St. Faustina?
Yes. What do you think of that?
Oh, yeah. St. Faustina, that's... It took about 20 years until Pope St. John Paul II, when he came on the line, that he ordered or that he approved it. It took about 20 years, if I'm not mistaken, for the Church to accept the Divine Mercy. So it took a while. And, of course, we know that Pope St. John Paul II was from Poland. And so he had pretty good inside information on that, I'm sure. You know?
Right.
And sometimes it takes a while.
So what time span would that have been over that 20 years from when to when, roughly?
Well, you go back to when Pope John Paul II became Pope in 1978. Just go back to 58, 68, 78. So around 50, just a little bit before 1960.
Okay. Well, that's interesting because, again, this message is 1995, so I was just trying to see where it fell in all of that. But anyway, it's cool that there was a Divine Mercy medal struck right in the middle of all that and long before it became more popular in the Catholic churches. Even now, I was so disappointed because on Divine Mercy Sunday this year, my particular parish didn't even mention it. And, you know, that to me, it was just, what? How can you know it's this day and not say even a word about it? So, but that's how different parishes are. I mean, it just depends. The leadership can be quite different and the beliefs and the emphasis can be quite different. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, most certainly.
Next week, guys, pack your bags. We're going to Central America.
Central America?
Yeah, Nicaragua. 1980. A little place called Cuapa. Cuapa, Nicaragua, 1980. Yeah, that'll be a nice little journey. So we don't get to go to Central America very often, but things happen everywhere. So anyway,
things do happen. Well, that is important for us. Next week we are going to Central America, ladies and gentlemen. So make sure that what you pack your bags with, make sure you have your rosary with you, because when you hold on to the rosary, it's like you're holding on to the hand of Our Lady, and also your Bible, to have that available, and to also have, just be in the state of grace. That's an important one. So be ready next week, pack in your bags with God's grace, which you should do that everywhere you go. But next week will be interesting.
Yeah, and thinking about Judy for a moment, I noticed on my computer she would often send me copies of messages when I'd ask her to, and then I would copy and paste them onto a file. Well, I noticed that my file was 66 pages long of her poems that she sent me. So... it's filled up quite a few computer pages of my favorites that she sent me over the years. 66 pages worth. So quite a few of the favorites. And I think her God's Poetry group, I'm sure that's still up there for people to see on Facebook, I believe. Of course, she won't be adding to it, but I'm sure it's there. So we should tell people if you miss her and want to read some of her poems, go to God's Poetry on Facebook. That's where she kept so many of them, and I know she was up over almost 2,000 that she'd had, so quite a few, just since 2009. So that's amazing.
Definitely.
Well, as usual, as usual, before we end the program, we always ask for everyone out there to pray a Hail Mary with me out loud, and when you do, we hope that all our voices around the world, and I know you're out there in all those countries around the world, that as we say this, our voices will rise together in unison toward heaven, where they will look down and they will know that we are honoring our Blessed Mother again with a worldwide Hail Mary. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. And hopefully it was an interesting and inspiring show for you. If you've never tuned in before, you got a little taste of what we do. But there's so much detail that we often have. And next week will be another great story in Nicaragua in 1980. So that should be of great interest. And we hope that you have a good, safe week. Pray your rosary every day. It will keep the devil away. He hates it. He hates it. And here's one reason he hates it. Think how many times you hear the names Mary and Jesus when you say the rosary. Think how many times.
Oh.
And one visionary said that Satan feels like he gets bopped on the head every time he hears the name. So every time you say these repetitive phrases, it's just pounding them on the head with Mary, Jesus, Mary, Jesus.
It's like a machine gun.
That's the scream. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so it has a lot of power in it because he can't stand it. All right. Well, I have finished, and I will bid you all a great week and a good night. And any last comments?
Well, as always, this trip down under here in Australia was an exciting vacation. A lot of good information and material. So we look forward to next year when we go back.
All right. Well, good night, mate.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
You take care.
Good night.
Good night.
Father, I offer you the most precious. to find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.